you know, in, and so that bottom rung, if we're going to automate a lot of the tasks that are done at that entry level, then we may not be hiring there. We may actually need a fatter middle around the manager level. And again, having knowledge within a particular industry will be far more valuable than completing AR confirmations.
Happy New Year, friends, and welcome back to Future Proof. As always, I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, it is officially time to say goodbye to 2018, crazy year. And now it's time to start wondering what craziness 2019 has in store for us. God, I can't believe it's 2019. I mean, I started working in this profession in 2000, and now two decades has gone by. I mean, how did that happen? And now I'm starting to sound old, so that's got to stop. So, changing the subject, if the past few years have been all about disruption, and judging from what I've heard, it seems like they have, then 2019 is already shaping up to be the year of opportunity. I mean, look, we know what the disruptions are. Lord knows we've talked about them to death lately, and when we know about the potential impacts that they're going to have on our profession too. Not nearly as many people are talking about the opportunities that these disruptions are going to offer us. And that's about to change starting today with my guest today. He is Mark Koziel. He is Executive Vice President of Firm Services for the American Institute of CPAs. And as such, he leads, okay, are you ready for this list? He leads the AICPA's Private Companies Practice Section, the Firm Relationship Management Division, Small Firms, Diversity and Inclusion, Young Member Initiatives, the Technical Hotline, and the Center for Plain English Accounting. So when it comes to public practice, he's the man. And he says these disruptions are presenting huge opportunities to CPAs everywhere, especially in three key areas. First, there's tax. And Mark's right. As long as our elected officials keep passing complicated laws, we're always going to have a job. But beyond that, though, there's this. The tax work that technology is automating isn't part of a CPA space anyway. Mark talks about this idea of individual integrated services. In other words, helping our clients achieve financial well-being in all areas, and tax is simply a part of that. Next, there's client accounting services, certainly a hot topic these days. Mark says all the disruption we're seeing these days, client accounting is actually thriving on that disruption and allowing CPAs to add value in ways they never could before in areas like outsourced CFO work and management accounting level consulting services. So way beyond debits and credits here. And finally, there's audit. And for that, we turn to what caught my eye this week. It's an article in Accounting Web called How Will Audit's Future Change? So Accounting Web's Seth Feinberg attended a panel discussion at the recent Digital CPA conference just outside of DC. This particular panel discussed the evolving role of auditors in light of new technology like artificial intelligence and blockchain, and they were refreshingly bullish on the future of audit. One passage from the article in particular caught my eye. It reads, quote, "Auditing is not going to go away with blockchain or any modern technology, but it will change what audit is. There is a shelf life for historical financial data," said Alan Anderson, CPA, and owner of Accountability Plus. "There is going to need to be a baseline of skills and then subject matter specialists within those, within a firm, rather," Anderson says. The article goes on to say one thing Anderson did warn about the future of auditing was that the basic top-down method needs to evolve as technology is currently outpacing the skills of many of today's auditors. He suggested, for one, that firm auditors start to get to know their clients more than their basic balance sheets or how their data made it into a ledger, end quote. So there you have it again, that need. It's almost becoming an insistence that CPAs start mastering more human skills in order to remain relevant in this age of automation. And I think Mark Koziel would agree with much of that. He and I spent a good deal of time talking about the things CPAs in public practice should start doing now to prepare themselves for what's coming. Skills play a key role in all of that. So does business model disruption. Is your business model outdated? And what should you do to modernize it? All key questions and great food for thought for the new year and beyond. Here's Mark Koziel.
So, Mark, thanks for joining me today. By this time, I think we pretty much know what firms are dealing with disruption-wise. I mean, the list of usual suspects is pretty long. AI, cognitive computing, big data, cloud computing, all that kind of stuff. Blockchain now, that's certainly high on the hype chain. But I guess what my question is, what level of disruption are we looking at? You offered a pretty stunning number at a conference earlier this year, the percentage of current activities that within firms that can be automated with current technologies. What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, and thanks, Bill, for having me. You know, I think it depends on the different levels of service that we're talking about. And what's interesting, and we've been talking about disruption now for a while, and I'm kind of getting off of the disruption bandwagon a little bit to talk more to firms about opportunities, right? Because that's really what it is. And at the end of the day, no matter how much we disrupt in how we do the work in the back office that nobody sees or values anyway, it's still all about the client relationship, right? So even in audit, as we automate audit, let's say, you know, there's going to be even greater value add to the audit because it's going to be data driven in how we're going to look at things. So we're going to have greater insight into the data, providing that insight back to the client in a way that, you know, still maintaining our independence, but providing them with greater insight into their data based on not only handing them a financial report, but this is what we could see from the data as well. And here are some ways that you should be using your data differently to manage your business. So I think that the disruption, as much as we want to talk about it, it really more is going to be around the opportunity. And we could dig into any one of, you know, the three levels of service that we see as just great opportunities into the future: audit, tax, client accounting and the automation and the disruption. You know, so this disruption and automation that we're talking about, while it sounds scary to firms today, client accounting is actually thriving on it. And it's causing new firms to do new and different things with their clients that they've never done before.
What are some of those things that you're seeing start to pop up?
Well, you know, it's in the client accounting space. So we can completely automate the data that the client does. And, you know, we would talk constantly about, you know, our small business clients never being ready, never having the right information. Their QuickBooks file, their Xero file, their Intech file are terrible. We're going to spend all our time cleaning it up. We're going to do debits, credits to get them a financial statement that they can actually read. That's over. So now we're going to put in Bill.com. They're going to make all their payables through Bill.com. They're going to use Expensify for their employee expenses. All of that gets automated. They're in GL codes. They get automatically dumped in. We've already created a financial statement to do that. Now we're having deeper conversations with our client. Here's what we saw from the data. You know, I use the example of my wife who has a craft business, right? And it doesn't get much smaller than that. Going out to all of these different craft shows, selling her wares. And now based on her using a Square, she has the ability to actually hone in on her customer base by zip code to understand where they're at. And if she wanted to do a targeted mailing to actually increase it, give it that critical mass within that, or better understanding the shows that are right for her based on that zip code, she's now able to do things smarter with her business. And I go, there isn't a restaurant or a retailer or anyone that you go to today that you don't have that capability. So when I see small business today, you know, it's far more sophisticated from a data-driven standpoint. And that's where the CPA is spending a lot of their time, talking to their clients about improving their business around it. And being that outsourced CFO, being that management accounting level consultant to their client, not just debits and credits.
So how do firms get there at this point, Mark? I mean, what, you know, they see the opportunity. Maybe they haven't taken any steps toward reaching that point. What kind of steps can they take?
I think on the client accounting side, first and foremost, you know, as we've watched businesses and having the tools accessible, whether you're the smallest of firms or largest of firms, is creating the right business model and actually sitting down. And we have a framework around this, and through CGMA, we have a business model framework. Let's sit down. Let's talk about what are the channels necessary. Let's pick a particular niche where maybe we have some concentration in bookkeeping clients that we can expand that into a bigger client accounting sphere. What are the resources necessary to support that business? How do we move forward? You know, next week I'm heading to our digital CPA conference. There are hundreds of firms who are already doing this, and they're now getting together annually at this meeting, and they're talking about how they're doing it. I'm facilitating a roundtable around the business model, because it's not just, you know, hang your shingle outside the door and then hope and pray that people start to call your phone number and ask you to do their tax return or their audit or their client accounting. It's not about that. It's finding the channel, getting deeper in that channel, and really creating an expertise in one niche, driving down deep, then moving on to the next niche. And I think that's the greatest area to start, small or large. Get that one, nail it, and then move on to the next one.
And I love this notion too. You've actually mentioned tax as being a huge opportunity. And we keep hearing, mm-hmm. you know, that it's one of the areas that's just ripe for huge disruption in terms of automation. You know, in other words, we're not going to be doing tax anymore. But tell me why you think that going forward, tax will continue to be a huge part of what we do.
Well, thanks to Congress passing, you know, highly complicated legislation, we should always have a job based on knowledge, right? So even in this simplest form, and, you know, everybody said, okay, there's going to be, you know, millions of more people this year that are going to file a standard deduction more so than ever before. Okay, great. But that was never our space as CPAs. The impact to the CPA profession will be minimal at best for that. And so when you look at those professionally prepared returns, even with the introduction of TurboTax coming into the marketplace, you know, that only helps replace the pencil and paper do-it-yourself for far more than it did the paid preparer in our marketplace. And it's actually created more complications, because people can get into greater trouble around TurboTax and answering the wrong questions that they think they have. And by the time they're done, it's messier than when they started. So then they go out and find paid help anyway. And I think a lot of our small firms see that. But expanding beyond tax, and, you know, this is a 20-year-old conversation. And I've talked to firms about this for a long time. My old firm, you know, they got into the wealth management space, the financial planning space. It is about being individual integrated services, taking that one client and being holistic around the financial needs that that particular client needs, not just tax. Tax is an element of the overall financial plan, but doing all the financial capabilities. Again, automation will just make it that much easier for us to get involved in that.
And I've heard that come up, like I just interviewed a Lyle Benson, as a matter of fact, who works with you guys in the PFP space. And this is the second time recently that I've heard this notion that, you know, these planning services, it's about life planning almost. And that's really kind of a sweet spot for us.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I mean, and I've, you know, Barry and I and Carl Peterson, our VP of small firms, we met with a group of small firms a few months back. And so, you know, their big argument or big complaint was we needed to pass legislation to force brokers and dealers to get these 1099s in on time and accurate when they actually file them, and pass legislation that hugely penalized them to if they don't. And we said, look, that's not reality. It's not going to happen. But what is happening in the market is that same broker dealer. So you go to a client and say, client, we've got a problem. You need to talk to your broker dealer about getting this 1099 in on time, because we can't get your tax return done. Go talk to your broker dealer. Tell them they need to get this to you better. And so client goes marching off to the broker, says, broker, we've got a problem. And this is what my CPA says that they need. And the broker says, we can easily solve that problem. The client says, how? And they said, get rid of your CPA, we'll do your tax return. Since we have the 1099, we know when it's coming, and that's 80% of your return anyway. Why not just have us do your tax return? And when I said that, one of the firms in New York said, that exact thing happened to me. You know, I was in an office. There was a wealth management company that we would swap clients with. I would refer wealth management to him. He would refer tax clients to me. That wealth management firm sold to a Chicago-based wealth management firm. The first thing they did was they sent all of my clients a letter saying they'll do the tax return too. And that's how fast it can happen. So we need to be in that space. We need to be holistic. Clients are, again, that client relationship being critical to what we do, taking advantage of that relationship and being holistic in the service.
What kind of challenges are you hearing from firms these days when it comes to kind of taking these steps and making themselves, you know, not more future ready, more value added to their clients? What kind of challenges are they running into?
Time. Yeah, it's always the biggest challenge. So busy and doing the things that I'm doing. You know, I don't know that they would admit to the challenge or not, but things that I've observed over time, no doubt, in seeing firms that are highly successful in making that transition versus firms who have struggled in it. Like if I talk about wealth management, financial planning, and I have a firm say, you know what, we tried that, it didn't work. And I can typically ask the question, and I know exactly what path it goes down. You know, well, who was in charge of it? Well, we told this one partner in their spare time, go develop this new practice. Who's got the spare time, right? So it gets virtually ignored, and there's no comprehensive plan. There's no full support of the firm to do it versus a firm that says, you know, we went out, we hired somebody, or we took a partner and we made them 100% responsible. We took away all their other client responsibilities so they could be solely focused. We knew it would be a 5-year investment to get to that point, and this is how we got there. For the smallest of firms, sole practitioners, you know, I think one of the greatest advantages to do that is actually looking at the client list and you know, learn your ABCs and get rid of your Ds. Because we're spending more time on the B clients, not profitable. And if we had a conversation with our A clients tomorrow, we would find out that they would probably welcome us doing more for them. So, you know, it's taking that system, getting the learning, understanding the systems that you need. And there's a ton of support out there between BLI, between AI, CPA, in making these transitions. And same with client accounting. They tell people, well, in your spare time, go do this. Or they take someone who's well-entrenched in being a bookkeeper forever and said, you know, transform this practice or grow this practice. That's all they tell them. Just grow it. They don't tell them how, why, or what. And then they end up trying to grow it in the one way that they know. And that's with the lower end bookkeeping. And it's not quite as profitable as it could be.
And that's, you know, time is a finite resource. So it's like, I mean, what's the answer to that? Is it something as simple as just, you know, making the time for what's important? I mean, prioritizing what you need to do in order to remain valuable going forward and focusing on that?
It is. And it's a scary thing. And if the firms would be like, well, you don't know my business. Well, I generally do. And I've had examples of where we've seen successes in it, right? So my old firm, 25 years ago, we ranked our clients because we said, we are churning and burning our people. We need to take a step back. And if we're going to grow in the areas we want to grow, we need to get rid of clients that aren't going to be part of that future vision, right? And then I had a small firm, 2-partner firm back years ago, said, you know, I need to hire somebody. I'm so busy. I need to hire somebody, but I can't afford to pay what the larger firms have driven the salaries up to. And so we actually sat down and I said, look, maybe you don't have to hire anybody. Let's do this exercise on your clients and figure out, you know, if there are clients that we should actually get rid of, or, you know, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to do a price increase. You know, I said, double the price. He said a 10% increase. We settled somewhere on like 25% increase that he was going to put on his D clients. And so he put that price increase in, and he went to his B clients and told them, this is the price, thinking they were going to leave. He lost 0.0 clients from that price increase. Now could well afford to pay somebody, now just based on a 25% increase on those clients, and he was actually upset by it. He's like, you know, there's at least two clients that I would have been more than happy to see go. So now I'm upset I still got to do it. and that price, it wouldn't have mattered, right? So, you know, I do think at times, you know, and I understand there are competitive markets out there. I practiced in Buffalo, and my entire career was in a recessionary environment. So I get it, and it can be competitive. But once you start, you know, that whole discussion about going deep in a super niche, once you have that expertise, you'd be amazed at how valued you're going to be in the marketplace and how much more people are willing to pay for that.
And it strikes me that there might be kind of a cultural aspect to this whole thing too, in terms of surrounding yourself with clients who believe what you believe, who kind of share your vision and your values, and you know, right. The relationship gets stronger once you start surrounding yourself with those types of people.
No doubt. And it's amazing the referral sources when you have that commonality of culture, mm-hmm. right? And then they'll start finding you other people who have that same belief system that you do.
Barry Melanson kind of famously said not too long ago that he believes we won't recognize the vast majority of CPA firms in 5 to 10 years. Do you agree with that?
I think they look incredibly different today than what they looked like 10 years prior to now. We see that in some of the larger firms with the acquisitions that they're doing. Yes, they've always had advisory practices, but the advisory practices continuing to grow and be such an integral part. Firms that are hiring other qualified professionals to do the work that was traditionally done by CPAs and some of the aspects around what they do. There's a lot of transition around it. And, you know, he's talked a lot about being CPA, not being a CPA firm, but being a CPA-led firm. And I think that that will continue. And then the pyramid, the business model, you know, we talked about it changing for client accounting. That pyramid model is going to be incredibly challenged based on this automation within the next 5 years. So I do think, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, explain that a little bit. First of all, why that's first. Just real quick, a brief overview of what that pyramid model is, and how is it changing based on these technologies?
Well, the pyramid model in firms has been around forever. You hire as many people as humanly possible at the entry level, low end of that, and that's the wide part of your pyramid, right? And as people progress in the firm, they start to fall out at different levels. And then those few who are left standing, we decide to promote them to partner at the end of the day, right? So it's a marathon, not a sprint, as they say. And so those who can hold out the marathon are rewarded by becoming a partner. You know, and so that bottom rung, if we're going to automate a lot of the tasks that are done at that entry level, that we may not be hiring there. We may actually need a fatter middle around the manager level. And again, having knowledge within a particular industry will be far more valuable than completing AR confirmations, right? And so that's what we're going to bring to the table. And then being able to manipulate data, understand data better at that manager level, that's going to be the value add inside of the firms around audit, as an example, or tax, now client accounting. So in a lot of those, we're going to see kind of a shrinking of the bottom end of the pyramid. And Barry will talk a lot about having a hot air balloon almost upside down. Mm-hmm. It's not like the bottom level is eliminated, but it's definitely a fatter middle that you'll end up seeing. So you'll still hire entry level, but the pipeline and how you complete that and fulfill that is going to definitely look different.
And the types of people that you kind of go after that entry level starts to change. You're looking for different
right.
skill sets, and I mean, are they coming out with those types of skill sets? Do you think? I mean, are we teaching young professionals the skills that they're going to need in order to make that transition?
Not at every level. You know, the data science, data analytics. We are seeing this in larger firms where they're hiring data analysts, not accountants. Hmm. You know, so they're, and I shouldn't say not at all, but you know, they're down you know, we saw this from our trends report. The 2016 trends report was down 19% in accounting grad hires in firms from 2014, so about 10% a year. Yet the number of non-accounting grads at the entry level that were hired by those same firms is up 20%. So, and the firms will say, we didn't hire less. We're not down 20% hiring over two years, but we are definitely hiring less accounting graduates to fulfill those positions because we need data science, data analytics on the audit teams to fulfill what it is we're trying to do.
So what does that mean for us as a profession? How do we, what do we do about that?
Things that we're looking at, you know, are there, and nothing is in stone. There's no full answers yet, but a lot of discussions inside the profession to say, should there be multiple avenues into the CPA? Knowing that this data portion is such a strong part of it, what does that look like? You know, is it in the education system and how fast can the education system adjust to get data analytics and data science? But it's hard to get a student that's going to have all of the capabilities. So it's almost like having 2 4-year degrees. No one's going to go to school for 8 years to do what it is we're going to do. Yes, we have the 150 hours, but is that enough based on accounting and data science to be able to fulfill that? And, you know, our members are still saying that the 150 hours, they didn't never liked it when that was put in. Imagine having even more requirements on top of it would be a challenge. And to get the schools there would be a challenge. So is there a way to bring a couple of different audit needs? You know, still the one thing we're licensed to do is audit. And so making sure that those that are providing audit services are appropriately licensed, have the ability to be licensed, that is a challenge for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Boy, interesting times. What does the firm of the future look like to you? Like when you, you know, imagine it in your mind's eye, what do you see?
Yeah, I still see, you know, the CPA led firm well into the future. I still see the services that we provide there. You know, Bill, you've been around almost as long as I have, I think. And, you know, all these conversations around, you know, remember the old days, the good old days of punch cards to do tax returns, or, you know, you'd have to ship your tax returns out to a service bureau who would ship those returns back. You know, we've been through transformation before. And as long as we stay on top of it, I think there's a great opportunity and the opportunity for us to be all of these different things to our clients. And everything that's old is new again. The firm created in the 70s at the kitchen table with the client, doing the bookkeeping work, we're back there, but we're talking to our clients differently. But it is still about, you know, the client-centric, their business focus point, and helping them grow their business helps us grow our business. And so that's still there. But how we do it and how much is automated versus people, all of that is going to look very different.
Kind of interesting. With all this talk of, you know, new technologies and how that's turning our world upside down, that a lot of the skills that are going to keep us relevant going forward are kind of human based relationship skills, right? It's all about people.
Right. Absolutely.
So last question, Mark, perhaps most importantly. So Mark and I are kind of kindred spirits in a couple of ways. As he mentioned, we both have ties to Buffalo, and man, if you're a Buffalo guy, you're tight with me. So there's that. But you're also kind of a grill master of sorts, right? So what I want to know is what's on your holiday menu this year? Because I know a little cold weather isn't going to stop you. So what are you looking at?
Yeah, cold weather never does. I am always a fan of the mighty prime rib for the holiday season.
Prime rib, all right.
And if you can get that thing on a smoker and get a little smoke flavor into that, there's nothing better in life, as far as I'm concerned. So that's for me. How about you? Anything good?
Oh gosh, we're more traditional type of our in-laws like to do duck at Christmas, so that's what we're.
Oh, I love duck.
We'll probably be doing that, but prime rib sounds where it's at. Save me a seat. So,
all right.
Hey, thanks, man. It's fun talking to you as always. Appreciate your insights. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Take care.
That was Mark Koziel, Grillmaster extraordinaire and Executive Vice President of Firm Services for the American Institute of CPAs. You can find out more at AICPA.org. And those skills we were talking about, those human skills that are going to keep you relevant in the accounting and finance world of tomorrow, our sponsor this week, the Business Learning Institute, is a great place to get them. They'll help you grow your career, your organization, yourself. Check them out at BLIonline.org. Until next week, folks, happy New Year.